Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Not .com, .net. Now, our website is PetsoFinancial.com if you want to go there for podcasts, things like that. Okay? Podcasts, calculators, all those things. Or you want to shoot us an email. Love to hear from you. Now, before I share the COVID, there's a couple bullet points. Everything else is kind of falling into place. People are actually starting to understand what's going on out there. But I want to give you again the real numbers, not some kind of numbers that prove you ought to do this or you ought to do that. You can try to figure out what you ought to do based on the numbers. The real numbers, not the hype that you're going to get it three times. You could get it over and over, and somebody got it over and over, and whatever. Remember when it first came out? Right. It looks like half the people could get it again, or are going to get it again. Okay. Based on what? Oh, the science. Yeah, the science. Okay. Thank you very much for the science. Science of fear. So the science of fear has always been around. We're in the political season, so now it's the fear season, right? If you elect the other guy, we're all, you're going to die. They're going to take everything away. And I think there's some real fear in a lot of that, right? I thought of this yesterday. I was sitting down and having a nice beer with my beautiful wife. And she reminded me of something. It was talking about, this was talking about the circumstance of, you know, guns taken away and this and that. And it just reminded me of the movie Office Space, right? Do you remember Office Space and the guy that mumbled? And they took his red stapler away and they kept shrinking his space. I can't think of his name right now, but he ended up burning the thing down, right? It's pretty funny. But, you know, the horrible boss would kind of show up and go, yeah, we're going to need you to move your space in a little bit. And eventually they put him in the basement. It's like that, right? You take rights away. They never come back. You get a little less and a little less and a little less over time until you're in a box. America's in a box where, oh, well, we really need to decide what a meal is. It's not a chicken wing, but it's a chicken leg. And I, as governor of New York, need to make this holy decision for you restaurateurs. And you minions have no idea how dangerous it is to go to a restaurant that we do not condone the food. It's unbelievable. But we don't think of it. It's a pandemic. We got to go ahead and put up with some of this. Does it really come back? I mean, the numbers don't reflect any of that, that it still should be in lockdown. None of it. None of it. These same people are the ones that, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out today, as a matter of fact, today, they made some really, really bad decisions. And there's like nowhere in the world that you're more likely to die of COVID than New York and New Jersey. Strong work. Strong work. Gentlemen, I really think that Cuomo is really fantastic because he just gives a good speech. He just talks about it in such a presidential way. Remember when they were like trying to float him as the presidential candidate? Because of his handling of COVID. God. Wow. We can distort anything. And the thing that is so, as I talk about this upside down world, it is, and in this misinformation of COVID is off the rails. I don't have the right information. I just have the data. I'm not telling you where COVID's going. I'm not telling you if it's going to come back. I just know that viruses haven't. I just know it seemed a little bit early 4 months ago, deciding that no matter if you had it or not, you're not immune at all. That seems weird. I'm not a epidemiologist, but I think I didn't really learn that before. that you just kind of keep getting the same disease. We all know that the COVID numbers are coming down and the deaths are coming down, even though the amount of testing is going up. I'm not going to waste your time on that. I want to reiterate this. Nobody handled this disease correctly. I mean, nobody. It's just the media. But 6 months into a pandemic, the amount of misinformation, misunderstanding by the average person, to me is inconceivable. I am flabbergasted that in survey after survey, people think that the coronavirus is, yeah, it's not as deadly for young people, but something like a third of the deaths have occurred with people under the age of 40. No, they haven't. It's not remotely like that. Yeah, and children are, you know, they're at risk too. No, they're more at risk of a comet hitting their house than of dying of COVID. 6 months into the pandemic, that is still thought of by the majority of people. It's like here's the numbers. Don't believe them. I'm out. Nope. Doesn't fit the narrative. This is deadly bad. Got to keep the kids out of school. Don't go to college. Deadly. And then we're like, and then you see the people. Oh, look at this. See that party boat of college students. Yeah. Just, ooh, kids. Ah. Like, you know what's happened? They kind of sort of understood that they're not in danger. And they want to meet a girl. They want to have sex. And that's how you do it. You go to parties. You go to the bars. You go where other people are. It's where you go. But, oh, they're just, you know, off the rails. They don't know. They're just playing with fire. They're just, you know, it's like they're running with scissors. Look at those kids running with scissors. You can't even believe it. And we're flabbergasted. And at the same time, you're like, oh, and all of those old guys that make their own choice to be on the back of a motorcycle out there without wearing masks or marrying them or wherever, and they decide that, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to Sturgis. Oh, but then we got all the made-up data, right? Like, this is the surge. It's going to go around the world. The super spreaders and all this stuff. And it's like, based on what? Based on what? It's all phony. All right, here's the big news. This is what's happened. And this is why this president has done an amazing job. Not on everything, not on messaging, blah, blah, blah. But this is amazing. The public-private partnership we now have in phase one trials, 25 vaccines, 25. Now, remember when this broke out, we were told by the experts that it would be at least 2 years, maybe five, before we'd have a vaccine, if ever. Not within the first year. 14 are in phase two trials. Wow. 9 in phase three, and already 3 of them are in limited use now. 3. And what about all the therapies, right? I mean, it's just we're learning to deal with this. We are. We were told to flatten the curve. That's what we were told to do. Told to flatten the curve. So these are this week's big new data points, okay? Because you guys already know. You already know that all the deaths occur amongst old people. That's the way it is, right? That's the way it is. We're going to flatten the curve to make sure we don't overwhelm the hospitals. So we now, in, for example, New York, less than 5% of the hospital beds. I want to repeat that because that's kind of important for flattening the curve. That's the big objective so we can deal with it in the medical system. Less than 5% of the hospital beds are occupied by COVID patients. Kind of not overwhelming. In fact, the worst state, the highest percentage, is less than 15%. That's Georgia. Less than 15%. I think a long time ago we flattened the curve. A long, long, long time ago, we flattened the curve. Do you know that there is no other state besides Georgia that has more than 10% of their hospital beds are occupied by COVID patients? That's what I call like the real number. So what is going on, you might ask? The economy is opening up. And this is why the market's moving. It is move. It is work. It is working out there. Even if California wants to stay shut down, I bet the people don't. I bet the people are doing stuff. Even in New York. Even as they choose in Manhattan to kill themselves and make sure that no restaurant is left open, the rest of the state is moving. Come and arrest me. This is enough. New Jersey. All of these nut job places that really don't have any numbers to justify why they're shut down. Continue to stay shut down, but people are busting out. That's why the unemployment rate is just over 8% now. We're never going to have a V-shaped recovery. Well, we are. We sure are. People are busting out. I'm going to go see my grandkids again. They live in Nutville, but yeah, I'm going to Seattle next week. My wife's, my mother-in-law, over 90 years old, is coming to see us. She's going to get on one of those really deadly, dangerous aeroplanes and come see us. She's going to live her life. And that's what's happening everywhere. It's not me. It's happening everywhere because people are starting to understand this. And we can sit there and wag our fingers at college kids. They want to hang out and have a good time and figure out who they are. And we can wag our finger at them, but you know what they did? They figured out this doesn't even make them sick, let alone die. But I'm supposed to stay in the dorm? Give me a break. It's amazing. Anyway, I got enough of that. Enough of that. I just want to stay on top of the real numbers here. And if there's a statistic or two coming out of COVID, I think it's important to understand. This is why the market's thinking forward. And don't worry so much about the, quotes, Robin Hood traders. You know, it's too bad. The Robin Hood trader. What is a Robin Hood trader? I'm sorry. You know, I don't mean to. That's kind of getting into the weeds, and I apologize for that. The Robin Hood traders are who's being blamed for the latest rally or the latest decline, because they're speculators. They're what they call the pajama traders. They're at home. They don't know what they're doing. And they got lots of money. And they've been stuck. They can't go to movies. They can't go to this and that. So they sit at home and do what? Trade. And they're not big time. They're little dinky traders. Like, you know, they buy one option or two. And then what is it? It's gambling. I know it is. It totally is. We've done this many times. We talk about it. But it's not new. It's maybe new in mass because now trading is free. And so, but is it free, right? When you lose lots of money at it, it's not free. So the trading of these Robin Hood traders is what's being blamed for the big run-up in Tesla, or it's silly because it's a stock split. Okay, you want to know what a stock split is? I've got a $5 bill. I want five ones instead. So I have more bills, more shares. I have the same amount of money. I have the same company. It's all the same. But people like stock splits. But it's the Robin Hood. It's the free traders, the pajama traders. They make fun of them. But the reality is this. A few of them will finally get it in the end. And they'll quit throwing money away. And maybe they'll still invest. But people have been speculating and gambling in the market as long as I've been around. Instead of like admitting that they like to go to the casino, they sit at home and do it. and they make stupid bets and they don't keep their records. So they think they're doing, they think they're smarter than they are. And I get that. That's just a natural progression in life. And lots of people do that. Lots of people don't learn from failed relationships. Keep making the same mistakes. Lots of people make the same mistakes in the market and don't think about it. It's all the same. It's just there's more of them. But to think about a guy with $1,000 is going to move markets or a whole army of $1,000, it's just not, I just don't worry about it. Can they move markets in a day? No, not really, but they can certainly have some influence, a little bit. But the amount of speculation is off the rails. There's no doubt about it. But that's not the problem of the volatility in the market. The market generally still is fundamentally based. Day to day, it may not be. But long term, fundamentally, it is. It's seeing better days ahead. It's seeing post-COVID. It's seeing post-elections. It's seeing corporations still surviving and thriving. It's seeing creative destruction at its best. It's continuing to see that. It's thinking forward, not behind, not in the present. Forward, not always correctly, but thinking forward. And if we're not careful, we fall for all kinds of things. Need to buy gold as a hedge. I'm not saying you can't own gold. You can own some. If you really want to, own some. I don't, but if you want some, own some. It's okay. Just don't fall in that horrible trap. You know, it's like Ron Paul, I think his name is, right? Yes, it is. It's Ron, or is it Rand? I think Rand is his son. Ron Paul. Good Lord, he's got to be 150 years old. And for 150 years, all he's talked about is the sky is falling. The sky is falling. It really, really is. It's falling. I swear it's falling. I swear it really is. This time, it's falling. So call this number. Go to this website. Get my book. Then you fall in the death trap. Don't do it. Do not do it. Don't do it. And don't worry, I'm not going to get in a rampage about the equity indexed annuity pimps. That you already know that. Don't pay fees and all that crap. It's all. You don't pay a fee because there's a 10% upfront commission. Nice. That's not a fee. Don't pay fees. It's sad, but only because of fear. We got to approach this with a clear thought, where it's going. Believe what the market's telling you. It doesn't mean it's right, but understand what it's saying. Just because you miss doesn't mean you say, oh, the Fed, it's all fake, it's all phony, or it's just a bunch of Robin Hood traders. Those are people making excuses for why they don't own the great corporations for the last 10,000 points. I got to take a break. Terry, you're up to bat next, and we have got plenty of time to take your calls at 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We're trying to have hope in an upside-down world. That's hard. It's hard. It's hard. But in about 50 days, I think it'll all go away. Much of it'll go away. Let's rephrase it. Much of it'll go away. There'll still be the fear mongers in the world. I get it. It's how many people prey upon people and how people make their living, right? Preying on other people, scaring them into things. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Hey, dude. White golf balls show up better in the smoke or the yellow ones?
You know, I think maybe the red ones. Believe it or not, there's so many different colors. They put soccer balls on them now. It's amazing. I'm still sticking with the traditional white golf ball, however.
Yeah, Titleist extraordinary. Huh?
That's it, yes.
One quick point. going back to what Jim was saying earlier, you know, every federal dollar has a hook on it, a regulation, a behavior modification they want, like the EPA regulations, or Carter wanting to slow down, save gas, you know, speed limits for highway dollars and so on. So you got to keep that in mind every time you start talking about taxes and who's paying more and who's getting more. And
it's true, and it's and impedes on everything, right? You don't have the freedom to do this thing. Well, why not? And then what's next?
And the only thing government creates is more government. So
they do, and it grows very naturally. So again, just like maybe that's what it, you know. Maybe Office Space. If you've not seen the movie, it's worth seeing. It's a very funny movie, super funny movie. I think Jennifer Aniston. I hope that's the right name. Is in it. But anyway, and I can't think of the other guy's name, but it's an old movie, but they just keep shrinking until this guy, his space, and then he explodes, right? And I think that's kind of the perfect analogy to a revolution.
Well, you bring that up. I've just finished rereading Orwell's 1984, so I'm in a happy frame of mind here, so...
I know, it's hard. That's what I'm saying. Hope in this upside down world is hard.
But what I wanted to put up was everybody out there needs to have a bookshelf.
Yeah.
And have something on it that pleases them, makes them happy. I go back that I started out with Heinlein and Kipling.
Mm-hmm.
And then filled in, you know, a world Bible and a Bible and the 5,000-year leap and the fourth turning, just things out there that everyone needs to have a history book to show what history really was instead of what they're telling us it was. Or if you've got the power, you control the language, you control society.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this, if you go out there and be the affable idiot and be happy and... Well, like my mask is a smiley face,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to go ahead and stick him in the eye a little bit.
Mm-hmm. No, it's you know what? It's well said. We all need to reflect on history to, you know, reflect on how hard it was. And life is hard at times. It's very, very hard.
Yep,
and we all have tragedy. We all have grief. We have everything in our life. And
or you go back and start reflecting on 2001 and who were the heroes there.
Yeah.
And remembering the good that we did and how we came together, left, right, center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the American spirit. Or like these helicopter pilots down in California.
Mm-hmm.
Zero visibility, and they took off and went and rescued the people up at that lake.
Yep.
They said the firefighter said, "Oh, we can't get in there. Go, everybody, go jump in the lake and, you know, do the best you can." And
mm-hmm.
we had a bunch of military guys jumped up and said, "Nah, watch this.
Let's make this happen." Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a good world. We just have to sit down and, like you say, shut the noise out.
Mm-hmm.
And
open up one of those good books and.
Yeah,
and,
there you go. Sit back.
I don't.
And
I want to be like
bit.
Creepy Joe, but go walk by a park and listen to the kids laugh.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things in Orwell, that not laughing and not enjoying beauty. You're listening to a thrush sing.
Hmm.
And so you have to have your perspective. If you have your perspective right, the rest of this sort of falls into place.
It does. It does. Well said, Terry.
All right. Well, you have a good day, Professor.
You do the same. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're going to take a break here for Fox News, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Really, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to do this. It's wonderful. I really, it's just, you just don't know. I know Kevin knows, and people have done radio know what a amazing opportunity this is when you can do this for many years and how it just changes you. It enriches my life. It does in so many ways. So many ways. All right. First of all, here, before we jump on the phones here, Bob, hang on one second here. I've been trying to get to this for 2 weeks, and it's Phil sent an email, and I apologize for taking so long to get back on this, Phil. But it's such a good question, I wanted to answer it live. What is a good ratio of equities versus fixed income for a retired couple in the early mid-70s? We have been at an 80-20 for the past 5 years. We take out about 3% a month for a supplemental income, and the pot keeps increasing. Is it time to move closer to a 60-40? All right, great question, and I'm going to say this. I hate asset allocations like that. Hate it. And I'll tell you why. If you were to retire today with a 60-40 portfolio, which is what you can go to every website, ours included, and we have a Monte Carlo simulation that pretends to know what your statistical odds are of achieving 4% withdrawal rate and living to be, let's say, 90 years old. Okay? And does a million calculations in like half a second, and then boom, your chances are X. Complete BS. Complete. Because we're dealing in a world of zero interest rates. I'm supposed to put 40% of my money in 0.6 10-year treasuries? What am I, nuts? And I want to pull out 4% or 3% in your case? Absolutely not. This is beyond the pale of not looking at what in the world is going on in front of us. I'm not saying I like to be in an all equity or we got to find other alternatives like REITs or some structured notes, something that's going to give us some more income. BDCs, something. Because all of that included entails taking more risk than a 10-year treasury. But I'm not going to sign up for a plan that guarantees failure. That just seems silly to me. It's like, just to be safe, I'm going to fail. That's not being safe at all. The only objective is to try to have your money outlast you on a cost of living adjusted basis, correct? I mean, that's the main objective in retirement. Maybe if there's some left over, the kids get it, blah, blah, blah. Okay? But if I'm going to say an asset allocation is a fixed amount, can you put 40% in high income things, less volatile, high dividend payers, tuck in some utility stocks, look for a couple of special situation bonds, and maybe now you can even do on a non-qualified basis if you're in a high tax bracket, you want to look at municipal bonds heading into an election where one guy promises to raise taxes to the moon? Yes, you can. But we got to find alternatives to the classic 60-40, so I wouldn't think that way. I would be thinking in terms of, how am I going to produce more income, that 3% number? Yesterday, I actually just as a fun thing went through some high-quality names for myself. I mean, fun thing, I know people are like going, wow, you just are really something. You are such a fun guy. But I went through and looking up a few things like Johnson & Johnson, are they around? Aren't they about 3? Sure enough, they're about 3% dividend. 3.5% on a Pfizer. J.P. Morgan, almost 4%. The list goes on. BlackRock's 2.7, biggest asset manager in the world. Wow. I mean, there's some yields out there, or do I want 0.6? Because my asset allocation calls for that. So if you're going to take 4% out of 40% of your portfolio and earn less than 1%, that's guaranteed failure, no matter what the Monte Carlo simulation says. So again, not thinking of it that way, thinking of it in a bigger way. Let's produce more income with all of the stuff, no matter what category that comes out of. Hopefully that makes sense, Phil. I appreciate the email. And you can follow up with follow-up questions, because I just don't have time to really dive into that today. But we talk about it a lot, so we'll bring it back, I'm sure. Let's go to the phones now. Bob. Bob, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. If you can explain a few concepts for me that seem maybe they've been changing over the years. How about the word contrarian? I always thought something that contrarian may have meant you pick value of growth as going, or vice versa, but you could be stuck for a long time and not have any gains. Then how about also the words diversified portfolio? It seems that kind of has changed. Can you explain those two? And then I have another concept if you can explain.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to do my best in a short time. Okay. Because this is the question I've been asking and thinking about for 20 years. Okay. Is it being smart to be looking at value? I've heard that, international stocks are cheap compared to U.S. for so long that, you know what? You're just wrong. It's not you're early. Because after a decade, you're not early. You're wrong. There's a reason. And so being contrary for contrarian's sake is not good. You really have to have that catalyst that could change it. And it could be that you actually own some garbage that is so cheap, right, through a crisis of some kind, that you could be a contrarian and dive in and you can do well. But you better be quick on your toes and you better leave. My preference is finding high quality, and whenever it drops a little bit, add to high quality. Find the category killers and stick with it. And I don't think being just contrary and saying growth, value, it's time for value. So you know what we're doing right now on some of our great long-term value managers? They're being fired if that's the way they talk and sound now. There's some others that have started to integrate and look at it differently. They own Amazon in a value portfolio. They own Google in a value portfolio. They're balancing their thought processes. They're innovating and creating. And I think that that's important to do. It's not because you're just jumping on the bandwagon. It's you're saying and recognizing that technology and growth is the pathway forward. And in all of my portfolios, income included, I want to get out in front of 5G. I want to be in front of genetics. I want to be in front of cybersecurity. All of those things, and they're not value stocks. So I hopefully that answered that question a little bit.
Yeah, and how about, is that the same as a diversified portfolio, something in the past?
No, because I'm not going to say you should just buy Google or you just need technology, but because there's lots of innovation, and I do, but I still would say, So I understand what you're saying, but when I'm talking about diversifying a portfolio, I'm not going to go buy something I know won't work. And I know a 0.6 10-year treasury won't work. Okay? I'm not saying you won't get your 0.6. I know it won't work. You can't beat inflation tying up money at 0.6 for 10 years. It's like saying, I'm so scared I'm going to go buy an equity index annuity and guarantee that I can't get to the money without loss, and I guarantee that I won't make 2%. It's guaranteed. It's fixed. Even though they can say absurd things like you get market participation, but you don't because it's capped at 2%. And then, so these are the problems that are out there with saying I want to have normal diversification. I think we have to think, and it doesn't mean you chase. I think you have to be slow and you want to be analytical in it and not be like, well, I got to get on this hot, you know, pot stocks are running. Let's get on them. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that at all. But we cannot stay stuck in an asset allocation model.
Okay. And how about the last one is reading about a small cap growth fund.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand. So it talks about the main fella involved with the fund. It said he's in aggressive pursuit of private firms, and he invests in firms expected to go public.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I thought if you're dealing with stocks, it's public. How does he get involved with private firms? I don't understand.
That. Let's say Petso Financial. We're an LLC, so we don't issue stock. But if we were a C corporation, which what you're talking about, we would have stock certificates. But we're a private company, not on the exchange. But that doesn't stop me from selling it to somebody else and selling the stock. That's what private enterprise is. Okay?
Okay.
It's private. It's not traded on the exchanges, but it's still stock. And what they're hoping is that they buy into these companies and they're growing and then get onto the exchange. And that's what private equity does, by the way. That's what private equity is. It's giving money to corporations that they hope one day will grow big, become public. And then it's cha-ching. It's 10 baggers, 20 baggers, 100 baggers.
So then you go from the private to an IPO, and mm-hmm. don't a lot of IPOs have all this encouragement of greatness, and then they flop?
There's lots of them that do that. You bet they do. And, of course, some of them are Google, right, when they IPO, right? And we all wish we would have been an early private investor in Google. Then for every, $10,000 you put in, it would be worth, $10 million? An enormous number, off the rails, how much that is. So that's private even before they went public. And that's what that means, is that we're just, before it's on the public exchange, we are aggressively looking for companies that we can invest in that are growing a business that someday may hit the exchange.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Bob, thank you for the call. Great questions. Have a good day.
Thank you.
And LaJoy, you just hang on for a second, okay? Because we've got to take a quick break here. Our final break, we got plenty of time on the other side. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I can't believe that this is our last segment. My goodness gracious. If you have any comments, questions, want to get our podcast, that's at petsofinancial.com. You can also get in touch with us during the week there, email. Lots of calculators and articles to help you with your financial planning. So go check it out. All right. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. LaJoy, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for answering. People wouldn't answer my phone call.
was Kevin. I have no choice once you're up on the board. So yeah.
So going back to Terry's discussion, you know, sit down, read a book, and don't worry about whatever's going on. Now is not the time, folks. We've seen what the socialist reaction to COVID did to disrupt markets, to interrupt supply chains, and all those sorts of things. And it is hereby officially election season. And sitting down reading a book or going and playing golf shouldn't be an option for you after you've seen what a demonstration of incompetence is when socialists react. So I would like to encourage everyone out there to go and find a candidate. Mm-hmm. Start walking your district or walking your county and find flyers and talk to your neighbors. And also, very importantly, in Ada County, you know, we're beginning to be a Democrat county.
Yeah.
It's very important to get out there in those local elections, your county commissioner races and those things, and give money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you appreciate your money, if you want to protect your money from socialist agendas and market disruptions and you want a stable economy, there's really only one answer to that, and that's get out there, find a good Republican, and mm-hmm. back him and work for him. You know, this the idea that between now and November you should sit on your laurels. I mean, if you can't physically get up and do something for somebody, you probably have a checkbook too.
Yeah.
That's
a good perspective. I appreciate that, LaJoy. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think when, you know, and obviously we were talking about that, we're talking about getting away from all the noise from the TV and digesting instead a book and your thoughts, and be able to find some peace in that. And so, yeah, there's a balance between the two. But LaJoy, LaJoy. Sorry about that.
Do it November 4th.
You got
November 3rd.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye. And let's jump over real quick here to Paul. We've got a little time left. Paul, go ahead.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Okay. Magellan Midstream Partners and that type of funds, they got the hell beat out of them.
They have gotten creamed. Mm-hmm.
Bail?
I don't know. This is a hard one. It's a hard one. The answer is no. I don't think you bail, okay? The value of those companies is much higher, the net asset value. The thing is, they're being tossed aside because of fear of a congressional takeover and the White House of Democrats. So they can't even bounce in here. So initially, you get hit with COVID. Demand goes down, so their cash flow goes down, and also they're in the oil sector. So what happens? The ETFs sell. Everybody sells, and nobody's interested in them, okay? Now, they had a lot of capital issues a few years back, all right? And I don't want to pretend to be an expert, but these companies basically borrowed money, had high distributions, everybody loved them, and then somebody went, hey, these guys have way too much debt. They're not really earning that much money. In other words, right? They discovered that Oz was behind the curtain. It was that there was no there. And so we've got an issue with them in capital, but they've improved that. Many of them turned to C corporations, which I'm sure you're aware. Yeah. But I still think the net asset value is way above. They're trading at enormous discounts. I actually think they're a great buy, but you have to be patient. There's no reason to think they're going to go anywhere else. But this is one area I do feel pretty good about. But be very careful. Remember, there's tax issues in some of these. They're paying out borrowed money. Be very careful in this space. It is, don't buy the yield. Yield is very deceptive. Very deceptive.
I'm not going to buy any more of it.
Yeah, right. But I would hang in there with what you have. I think I would. Unless you can take a tax break, think about it for 30 days and go back in. Sorry, I got to go, though, Paul. Okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dave.
Thanks for your call. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye now. All right. We are running out of time here. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I hope you have a great weekend. I'm off to tour a 5,000-cow dairy. That'll be fun.